This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 271 for the week ending May 9th. My son Christopher's birthday, 2015. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Catholic Weekend. I'm Captain Jeff.
I'm your captain.
And joining me today from Conyers, Georgia, the lovely Maria Johnson.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Fantastico. And from the plains of Oklahoma, Steve Nelson.
Hello, everybody.
Been getting some stormy weather there this week, huh?
We're on day four of severe weather coming our way.
Ugh. Glad I'm not flying over there. And finally, last.
Lena Horne.
But not least, from the western open, what do they call that? The blue skies, the something skies, big skies of Montana, Father Corey Stika.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Not so stormy here.
And how's the weather there? Is it nice?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, it's a little cool and we got some rain, but nothing like what Steve's dealing with. You know, tornadoes that cause tigers to get out of their cages and things like that.
Whoa.
Wasn't that crazy?
I heard about that. Tornado hit, was it Tiger Safari or something like that?
Yeah, Safari.
Some of the animals got out.
They had tigers and bears roaming around. They didn't get out of the park.
Oh, my. Did you?
Yeah, exactly.
Tornadoes and tigers and bears.
Oh my.
They were having a lot of fun with that in the weather people. They, you know, they were putting up chance of storms and things like that. And then they put up a graphic of chance of tigers. 100%.
Well, I happened to be just look at Twitter as a Weather Channel retweeted one of the local news stations warning people in that area to stay inside because wild animals may have gotten loose. And I'm like, wow. Something you never thought you'd see.
Yeah. Well, you know, earthquakes and tornadoes and wild animals. You
did
know,
did you feel the earthquake?
Caressing.
Did you
We're
feel
in the Jurassic Age soon?
Did you feel the earthquake there in Oklahoma, Steve?
Oh, yeah, I feel them all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, little ones.
They
don't do anything.
Yeah, you just really think, or I don't, you know, of somewhere like in the middle of the country like that getting earthquakes.
Well, we didn't used to. They say it has something to do. It's related to the oil industry, not fracking, but a byproduct of the oil industry.
Oh,
no, that's actually they do say that there are some groups that are trying to ban fracking because they do say that it can cause earthquakes. Whether it is or not, I don't know, but that's what they do say. I mean, it's
well because of our oil industry.
Fracking, I think of Fraggle Rock.
You know, they're making a Fraggle Rock movie.
Yes, they are.
Oh, really?
I know. I can't. It's not animated either. It's like a live action thing. I can't wait to see what this turns out to be.
Oh my gosh! Yesterday morning, John and I went to go. We had to do a bunch of stuff, including taking a passport photo and renewing our passports and things like that. So we went out to lunch at a bar.
Okay.
It was really good breakfast. It was really tasty. But in the old part of town where the film industry is really just every weekend they're filming something here. And so we're sitting at a bar looking out the window. And we asked the waitress what was going on. And she said that they were filming Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Another one?
in our fair little town.
I think I'm mourning for our society. There are no new ideas.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Well, what
Alvin!
Better idea can you come up with? Come on.
Well, they're only up to number 7 on the Fast and Furious series, so they got plenty left there.
Oh, yeah. Well, a good 20 at least.
Digits yet.
When you consider that the usual filming is the vampire series in Old Town, I'm happy to to do Alvin. Although I go ahead.
Don't they do Walking Dead around there too? Like
yeah, they do. They do the Walking Dead.
So you got vampires and zombies
in Atlanta. Well, it's mostly it's mostly in Atlanta. But the vampire, what's the spinoff from the Vampire series, Diaries? That's the one that they actually film in Conyers, and every once in a while
is that drive. Twilight, or do they film the Twilight series there? Or?
No, you have to be. It's,
you have to
it's
be.
A TV. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, go ahead. I was going to be try to be funny.
Oh no, it's a TV series, but so there's two permanent. There are two permanent set pieces that are in the little shopette area, little shopping area. One of them is a voodoo store. And the other one is, but that's just a you know, that's just the front. Mm-hmm. And another one is also some kind of weird occult thing. And I drive by there every Sunday to, well, you know, we drive by it to go to church. And on
so
the way to
are
church.
Are there signs up when they're not filming saying this is a fake store, don't actually come in? Or
one of them is. The other one is not. The other one is open for business. And so every time we drive by, I put up my hand and rebuke them, you know. And John is like,
and I
what are you doing?
I suppose officially it's, you know, it's a like a touristy type thing where it's, you know, officially not a real occult, but yeah.
Well, one is, I think. One really is selling potions and things. Yeah. One really is selling some stuff.
People, don't fall.
People.
Lifta. Yeah, that's not good.
There's botanicas all over Miami, and I choose never to enter one of those nightmares. But yeah.
Well, speaking of vampires and chipmunks, isn't that something that vampires like to eat? Chipmunks. Could be a mess over there.
They can't. You can't get human blood. They drink chipmunk blood.
Yes,
they drink chipmunks.
Just eat the
chipmunks.
Whole darn thing. Okay, watch out, Alvin. All right. Hey, did you know?
Speaking. Go ahead.
Go ahead. This is going to be a weird show. I can tell.
I'm just not going to talk anymore. I've interrupted you every single.
No. Please.
No, I have nothing to say. Mute me.
I can't mute you. Well, maybe I can. Let's see. Oh, yeah, I can. I can hide you from the broadcast. I can do all kinds of things.
Good move.
Okay.
So my Mac calendar just popped up that it's Mother's Day tomorrow. I hope people remembered.
What?
Oh, yeah. Mother's Day.
Oh, no.
Literally, it just popped up right this moment. Like, what was that? Oh.
Yes. So. I'm going, in fact, today after the show, I'm going to head down to the airport and fly out to California and spend Mother's Day tomorrow with my mom.
Well, fun.
Oh, that's sweet.
One of the young guys that works for me, he's 23. He just remembered yesterday that Mother's Day is tomorrow. His mother is in Virginia. Mm. I'm not sure what he's going to do.
Amazon.
Cherries, berries.
I actually suggested that to him. And
those are good, by the way.
It is tasty.
Yeah. They look good. They definitely look good. I usually just end up sending a text to my mom before I go off and do my masses on Sunday.
Well,
gee, you always have a ready-made gift, don't you? Gee, mom, today's mass is for you.
There you go.
Always in the hip pocket. So tomorrow is Mother's Day, and this is the month of May. And the month of May, see how I'm tying this all together. The month of May is the month of Mary, all of our mother. Yep. And I received something from someone. I don't remember. Maybe it was something I looked at on the show notes from Lynn Francisco. There's a Facebook page called Walking with Mary this May. Mm. And it says, we're going to walk or run 80 miles this May. The distance from Nazareth to Ein Kerem. Is that the way you pronounce that? E-I-N.
Yep.
K-E-R-E-M.
I care him.
You can do it anywhere, outside, on a treadmill, in your country of choice. Just get moving and take Mary with you. So, some of the people that we all know, Kim Beagley said, this is a great idea, and Sarah Reinhart is in there participating, and other people you know, that we all know from the SQPN community. So, if you're interested in joining this walk with Mary this May. We'll have a link to that Facebook page in the show notes.
Let's see. There's 22 days left in May.
80 divided by
22. You have to walk.
Okay, so that's
3.5 miles
divided by 22. Yep.
Are you trying to decide whether or not you're going to do this?
No, I just got catching up to do. I just first I've heard of this. Oh my gosh.
Hey,
I started on the 1st of May. I only have to do like 2.5 miles a day.
Yeah.
Funny part is I saw this and I was like, oh, I can worry about that later. You know, it's not yet May. Oh, wait, it is.
It is.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Amazing how it sneaks up on you.
Mercy, mercy, mercy. Oh, wait a minute. Hey.
Should remember, too, because we did our May crowning of the Statue of Mary on last Sunday. We had the kids go up and do that, and I should have remembered, oh, yeah, I guess that means it is May.
I was when I was flying last week on May 1st, I was wishing everybody a May Day.
Yeah,
on the radio, and I don't know, people were kind of freaking a little bit.
Bam. You used that joke last week.
Oh, shoot. I did. Yeah, that's what happens when you get old. speaking of mercy, and I'm hoping that all of you will have mercy on me. It is the year of mercy, is it not?
That's coming up.
Or it's going to be.
December. Coming up in December. You know.
Oh.
I know we talked briefly about it before, but it's in December, recently Pope Francis called for a year of mercy where we, as a church, take a look at, remember, celebrate, ask for our Lord's mercy. Ask for his mercy on us, ask for his mercy on the world, on those sinners who are in need of mercy, because we all are. And that begins December 8th. Speaking of Our Lady, it begins the feast of her Immaculate Conception.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. I saw that there's a link in there, too, that says that Pope Francis suggests the Divine Comedy as important reading for Year of Mercy. Have you read that?
Really? That's interesting. Yes, I have read it.
I've read the Inferno. I haven't read the Purgatorio or the Divine. I can't remember what Heaven. Anyways.
Paradiso.
Thank you. I've read the Inferno, and it's actually kind of fun. Different layers of hell, but
you know that I read it's a really interesting murder mystery that was written in modern times that takes place during in the United States, up in Massachusetts, I guess in the Boston area, where Longfellow and a couple of other writers from that era. I think Longfellow did the American translation of the Divine Comedy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or one of those guys from that era. Anyway, there were murders being, serial murders were going on. I'm sorry, I'm so drugged up I can't even speak English anymore. So these guys were getting together, the writers were getting together trying to solve the murders because all of the victims were being executed as one of the sins in and the punishment in the Divine Comedy, which is the one for hell. What is it?
Inferno.
So all the circles of hell were featured in this book, and the crimes that the people had committed were somehow associated with each one of the sins in the circles. It was really an interesting book.
Interesting.
And then I let somebody look at it because I hadn't finished reading it, and I never did finish reading it because the book disappeared.
Whoops.
Well, speaking of...
I stole the book.
Infernos and Hell, here's Sarah Fabulous, the Catholic Drinking, joining
Where
us.
Where are you?
At home.
Oh, when'd you get in?
5 minutes ago.
Nice.
Not even 5 minutes ago. I maybe been home 3 minutes. I didn't even unpack. My suitcase is sitting right over there.
So where'd you come in from?
Miami.
Miami. All right.
North
Miami.
Havana.
North Havana.
Yeah.
So what were you doing down there, young lady?
Well, friend of the show, Thomas Pringle, graduated from St. John Vianney College Seminary. And so I went down to spend a couple days with him and attend his mass and graduation with Archbishop Wenske. And it was just really awesome. Yes, that song. It was just a year. So he... So just 1 year, and now he's moving up to Boynton Beach to go to the major seminary there. So he's growing up so fast.
Oh, where my childhood pal is the rector.
Father Toop? Monsignor Toops?
The other guy, Juan Carlos.
Oh, yeah.
He's rector. Maybe he's something else. He's head of something.
He's something else.
Was he there, short little guy?
Yeah, I think Tommy pointed him out. There were like 40-something priests.
Yeah. So... yeah,
there were a lot of priests.
There usually are at seminaries.
Yes. But it was great, and so that was Wednesday evening. Thursday, we just drove around Miami, went to see the cathedral, had lunch at Joe's Stone Crab, and walked around Miami Beach, and so that was fun. And then yesterday, we went to the Keys.
And had Corona. Awesome.
Which keys?
Yeah, I had a Corona Light. We went as far as Long Key. So we went to Long Key State Park, but and then drove back. We had no plan. We just got in the car and started driving.
So how was the Stone Crab place? Was it? I know that that has a lot of hype.
Oh my gosh, it was so delicious! And really? Apparently, Stone Crab season ends on May 15th. So we got there just in the nick of time.
Excellent.
Just in the claw of time. It was great. It was super great. I was really bummed to leave, but you know, as everything, all good things must come to an end at some time. So
true. Well, I'm glad that you were able to join us. We just started about, I don't know, 15 minutes ago or so.
Oh,
something
nice. Well, I hustled home. I sent you an email as I was leaving the airport. So.
We saw that. We were so excited.
Yeah. But, it's so good to see you. Oh, yeah. It's so good to see all you guys. It's been so crazy the last couple of weeks for me with the book coming out in just a couple more weeks.
Yeah, give us an update on that.
So the book is now going to print, and that's coming soon. So June 1st is the official release date, but word on the street is if you've pre-ordered it, you might be able to get it early. So make sure you pre-order. You can pre-order at Liguori.org.
If I pre-ordered it or not. Did I order it already?
You should pre-order it from Liguori.org.
I also happen to know an event where you might be able to get the author to sign a copy or two.
Really? What
might that be, Father?
What event?
Something going on down at Atlanta. CNMC, I think it's called.
The CN what C?
Yeah.
CNB scene?
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Oh.
Ooh.
Well, here, we hear some music in the background. That must be time to talk about the CNMC.
There we go.
It is coming up, the Catholic New Media Conference, the Catholic New Media Celebration, or whatever the heck you want to call it, coming up very soon. Actually, let me make sure I get the exact detail. 28 days, 20 hours, 18 minutes, and 46 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have a timer up on
I do on my little widget page of my operating system. And... to let me know how soon I should start freaking out.
Freak out!
28 days. Oh, my gosh. So 4 weeks from... is that right? Oh, my. 4 weeks from today, tomorrow. I should probably go right now. I got work to do.
Bye.
He's already freaking out.
Anyway, if you haven't already done so, you need to register. You need to... right now. Well, right after the show.
No, right now. Forget the show.
Oh, right now. It's right there on the page you're looking at, right? I mean, just click on...
tab.
Yeah. Click on... just do a command or control and click on that thing, and then it'll open up a new page, and then you can put in all your registration details to attend the Catholic New Media event of the year, the Catholic New Media Conference in Atlanta, Georgia on June 7th. And need to act quickly if you're going to... come from out of town and stay at the hotel that all the cool kids are staying at which we were all staying, and that's the Gateway Hotel, and the conference rate of $99. I believe May 15th is the day that is the deadline for you using that rate. So check
Man,
it out.
You guys,
yeah,
get on it. If you haven't registered yet, make it happen. It's going to be so much fun. I know I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody and learning lots of amazing new things. And so if you haven't registered, it's totally worth it. You know, find that extra money, dig a little deep in your pockets. It's going to be more than worth your while and every dollar.
And we're going to all be there. All the panelists here will be there. So you'll get to meet all of us and visit with us and have a good time.
Absolutely.
And get an autographed whistle.
Autographed yeah. whistle and an autographed copy of Sarah's book.
Oh, yeah. I'll autograph your book. And if you tweet me before you come, maybe I will bring you an extra treat. Tell me if you signed up because you watched or listened to the podcast, and I will give you a present. To be decided what the present is, but I will give you a present.
Wow.
TBD.
It'll be a good one, whatever it is. It won't be beer, sorry, but it'll be a good present.
Very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to learn a lot, and it's going to be a blast. So, oh, and if you're going to be going there, you might as well, you know, join us at the Jubilee dinner the night before on Saturday, June 6th, where we're going to have a wonderful dinner and fellowship. All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity to plug the CNMC. Did you know that the Pope said, while he was visiting Argentina, I believe, or addressing people, he said, love of sports doesn't mean time out from church, from friends, or from supporting the poor or helping the poor. He told an Italian, oh, I'm sorry, it was in Italy. He told an Italian sports association.
That Pope.
I know.
Always saying such Catholic things.
What is wrong with that guy, huh?
You mean Sunday sports doesn't take the place of church?
You know,
no.
I remember when I was I still was in my conversion period, and I was hanging out at the Catholic bookstore, and I heard somebody come in and talking to the lady who owned the bookstore, and she was also one of the instructors of the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, mm-hmm. at our parish, and that's the program that I was participating in. And this lady was saying, yeah, she didn't get some of her sacraments or whatever, and she really needed to go to RCIA. But the problem was that they have season tickets to the Falcons football yep. season. And we did our RCIA on Sunday, during mm-hmm. during some of the masses. And I thought, really? I mean,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Let's see, Falcons football, you know, getting yourself eternal right life. With your sacraments and being fully, you know, Catholic.
Oh, okay. It's such a frustration. And I mean, I understand exactly where the Pope's coming from, because in a lot of these developed countries, it's bad. I mean, it used to be in many small towns like here in Malta, Wednesday night and Sunday morning were sacrosanct. Nothing was scheduled during those times because Wednesday night was religious education and Sunday morning was church. And it didn't matter if you were Catholic or Protestant. You went to church on Sunday. Well, now Wednesday night is still kind of officially family night, quote unquote. But more and more groups tend to, you know, yeah, you don't have an official practice on Sunday or on Wednesday night. But, you know, if you want to play in the game this weekend, you can stick around in the gym. Or, you know, wrestling is on Sunday, or school events are starting to be scheduled on Sunday. And it's really creeping in. It's getting kind of bad, you know. It's not a good thing, unfortunately.
I remember, you know, my childhood, you know, Sundays, especially, you know, especially when we were living in Mobile, Alabama, Sundays were like nothing was open. And yeah. You couldn't buy alcohol, you know, all the blue laws and all the places were closed. And, you know, it was great because you had nothing else to do but be with your family, go to church and, you know, spend time at home and
yeah.
I have to say, though, when I was campus minister, to the credit of my students, they would always get an intramural football game or soccer game scheduled on Sunday night when Mass was supposed to be. And not once did they ever ask about missing Mass. They would always go over to the intramural office and get the game rescheduled. So
good.
Okay. I did one thing right.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Steve.
Crazy. Some of my friends are like confirmation youth minister is not the right name, but confirmation coordinator or what have you, whatever mm-hmm. that official role is at the parish. And so, they help kids get through confirmation. Well, one of the biggest excuses that they get from parents is, oh, my child can't come to confirmation this week, or my child can't go on the confirmation retreat, or my child can't do XYZ because, well, he's got some sporting event that, like, coach will get really mad if he misses, any minute of the practice, or, whatever. I also had a friend, no lie, who the parents emailed him to ask if it was okay if during the confirmation Mass, so, like, the Mass where he's receiving the sacrament, if they could just leave after he gets anointed because they have to a sporting event they need to go to.
Are you kidding me?
That doesn't surprise me.
Someone also asked, do we have to be present for the confirmation or can we just get the certificate?
That's somebody who wasn't paying attention in their class.
Because of sports. Like, I love sports as much as the next person. Yeah. Folks who really know me know this. I love the Braves. I love Notre Dame football. I'm way into it, whatever. But get over yourselves. God's more important than any sport.
Yeah, you think coach is going to be mad. What about the big coach up there?
He's going to be pretty ticked off.
The thing that we've got around here, because we live such long distances to go anywhere in Montana, we'll be playing. They'll be playing schools at 200-300 miles away for like a Saturday night basketball game, and then they come back that night. So they'll get back at 1 a.m, 2 a.m. But then parents will say, "Oh, my kids can't get up for 10 o'clock Mass because they can't get in so late." And I'm sitting there thinking, if this was school, you better believe those kids would be expected to be there at 8:30 in the morning, but they can't make 10 o'clock Mass.
They would have missed school too. They would have
not around here. Too. Not around here. That's absolute. That's one thing I will give the school district here. They are not allowed to miss because of a sporting event. If they have to show up at school late or tired, they have to show up to school tired. I will give them that. Now that they will cancel school for a couple of days if there's a tournament in the school. But that's, kind of a different situation. You kind of understand that. No, it's an issue that I think a lot of Catholics don't understand. They think it's all right to miss a Mass. It's all right to miss, religious education, that your faith is secondary to sports. Now, to be fair, I would love to have a more sports watching friendly Mass schedule on Sunday where, I'm done at 11 o'clock. So then, during the football season, I can sit down and just basically veg out on football all day, because 11 o'clock Mountain Time is about when the first games start on Sunday. But doesn't happen.
Oh, wah. Are you really complaining about that?
I mean, when I was growing up, this is how it worked. If we didn't get, it's not really church related, but if we didn't get our homework done, we were not allowed to watch the Falcons game. It's like homework was the priority. If we wanted to watch the Falcons, had to be completely finished. So, we worked that into our schedules of going to church, doing all that, so that we could watch the Falcons game. But, my parents were like, is your homework done? Well, no, then no football for you.
Uh-oh. So,
and that's how it should be with, I think, most families. It's like, hey, guys. If you're in a big town, at least there's no excuse for missing Mass. My church, we have 13 or 14 Masses a weekend. Like, come on, y'all, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta get up for the 7:30 in the morning Mass. Get up at 7:30 in the morning Mass.
Right, or the vigil Mass or whatever.
At least in our county, because we had three kids who were actively involved in different things, the sports that are the traveling teams, because although we're technically in what is called Metropolitan Atlanta, we're still kind of in the outskirts. So we still have some driving to do to compete. And, for example, the traveling baseball teams that play, there's fall ball and there's spring ball. And then there's summer short seasons that are like, I don't know, like workshops or things like that. So these kids, these parents are putting money, lots of thousands of dollars they're pouring into these traveling teams because they think it's an investment in a college opportunity for their kids. And I keep thinking, you know, if you take those thousands of dollars for your mediocre kid and put it in some kind of long-term investment, shoot, just stick it in the bank, you'll have money for college.
Mm-hmm. We have kind of the same thing, but what we have here in Montana are basketball. Basketball is the big thing. We don't really have a lot of baseball. And, yeah, they'll have the winter school season for basketball. And within 2 weeks of the basketball season ending for the official, high school basketball, then they have all those tournaments. And they're all over the state. And it's like every weekend there's another tournament in another city, somewhere else. And yes, they're traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles to these stupid tournaments. And those do go on Sunday morning. They have one here. They just had, I think it was last weekend actually, called Swish Fest. And yeah, it starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, Saturday and Sunday. So, and it goes till, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock Saturday night. And those kids, sometimes they'll have games which are over mass. To be fair, we have one parent in particular whose twins play in it. She's got twin boys that they're the age where they'll play in that tournament. If they have a game during mass, they miss it. That's it. There's no argument. They go to mass.
Yeah, that's good. That's good for them.
I mean, I give her credit for that because the other parents can't like that.
Yeah.
But you know what? It has to happen. And it does help that here in Malta we do have both vigil and a Sunday morning mass, so she usually can work the schedule so it matches. But it's a frustration. It really is. And I understand, and I appreciate the Pope saying that. Sports are good. Sports are a wonderful thing. They're fun to watch. They're fun to be involved in. Don't let it overtake your spiritual life.
So how can we, I just wonder how we can be supportive of the parents who are scheduling these things and the kids to be, are probably mm-hmm. enjoying it. I know that my daughter, the youth minister where she works, publishes an annual schedule for the parents to be able to schedule around these kinds mm-hmm. of things. And they also have a pretty, in my opinion, a pretty generous makeup policy where, if they miss, if they miss a class and they're not saying what constitutes missing a class, they're all unexcused absences, therefore they all need to be mm-hmm. made up. And I know they've had a very generous makeup thing. What more can we do in that conversation to reach out to the parents? And we're sitting here rebuking them, and it really is worth a rebuke. But at the same mm-hmm. time, how can we better educate them mm-hmm. to encourage them to participate in the life of the parish with their children? I mean, that's a long life, eternal mm-hmm. commitment.
Obviously, you got to start a sports league.
Well.
Actually,
I played in CYO leagues when I was a kid. I played in the Catholic youth organizations. Mm-hmm.
Well, you were talking about, the importance and priorities and everything else. And, being at Mass should be our priority. But Dom Bettinelli from betnet.com, a lot of people know Dom. He'll mm-hmm. actually be at the CNMC as well. He wrote a blog post, "What is the point of the Mass?" Is it so many battles over the Catholic faith surrounding Mass, including how we celebrate Mass? Who should go to Mass? What should happen at Mass? Come about because we forget the purpose of Mass. And then I love this next sentence. The Mass isn't about you.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
Yeah. What, did you know that?
Are you serious?
I don't know.
All the griping about the crappy music that doesn't leave me fulfilled, huh?
Or this one I hear all the time.
Oh, wait.
No.
We're not going there. But Maria and I have chatted. I'm going to vent soon on my blog about it, so you guys get ready.
The one that I hear a lot, like when I talk to people who, I used to be Catholic, or I'm Catholic, but I don't go to church anymore. Because I don't go to Mass because I don't get anything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, that's a perpetual struggle, is convincing people. As he says, you're not supposed to get anything out of it. That's not its primary purpose.
Right, it's to worship God.
And I think, and I, honestly, you know, and I see what you're doing here, Jeff, you know, connecting it to how do we help parents understand the importance of Mass is, you know, we help them.
We can't get anything past you, Father Corey.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate this.
We try, but we can't.
It is, and I see it a lot as a priest. I really do. That I've had people who say, well, I don't like what you do at you don't do X, Y, and Z at Mass, and that I don't get anything out of Mass because you don't go and, you know, glad hand everyone during the sign of peace and shake everyone's hands in the community. I just don't get anything out of Mass now. You know, because you don't make me feel good during the homily, I don't get anything out of Mass now. I've had people flat out tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like,
oh, yeah.
That's what we're not here for that. We're not really,
well,
we're not.
I would give them, well, you know, faith is all about feelings anyways, obviously. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No, well, sorry.
Steve, you have something to say.
No, I mean, gosh, I don't know how many times I've had this conversation with college students, you know, and I don't get anything out of Mass. So do you like going to physics class? No.
What?
Get anything out of it? Well, no, but I need it for my grade. I need it for my future. I need it for my, you know, my degree, my career, and everything like that. And it's like, and Mass is different. How?
Mm-hmm. Because we just don't put the proper priority on it anymore.
Well, and unfortunately, there was kind of a movement in the church of, we need to make the Mass relevant. We need to make it so people want to come to Mass. You know, it was trying to get away from using the stick to get people, you know, beating it over people over the head with, you have to go to Mass because it's an obligation. You're going to go to hell if you don't go to Mass.
Well, hold on. Let's talk about that for a second. I'm going to cut you off there and say that people just don't think we're going to go to hell.
What? Yeah. No, hell doesn't exist. Come on.
No, well, no. Again, no, it's not that it doesn't exist. It's that, no, we have a merciful God and we're not going to go to hell.
Which,
why go to hell?
People were taught that. People
were not going to go to hell.
I've heard it from the pulpit. I've seen people teach it. And, oh, by the way, universal salvation, which is what they call that, is a heresy. Let's just get that out of the way. People will go to hell. People have gone to hell. There are probably very likely people in hell right now. Who they are, no clue. Won't say. We can't judge that. But it does exist. But there was kind of a movement in the church to say, we want people to go to Mass because they want to be there. So we need to encourage them. And we do that by having, you know, music that makes them feel good and doing things like the sign of peace, where everybody goes around and visits for 15 minutes and the priest comes down and joins them. And, you know, you got to hold hands during the Our Father because that makes some people feel good, drives those of us nuts who don't like it, but that's another story. Oh, and, you know, and if a new person is there at Mass, and this, I'm sorry, this is getting me onto my list of pet peeves.
Today's show brought to you by Corey's Pet Peeves.
Yeah, we got to make sure to introduce everyone who's at Mass who's visiting. Have you ever been to churches like that? Those of you visiting, why don't you stand up and tell you where you're from?
Yeah, please stand up and introduce yourself.
Exactly.
All that does is introduce a little train wreck.
Wait. I disagree to some small aspects of that.
Maybe if it's a small church, but I can't imagine doing that at a really, really big church.
Well, I went down when I was down in the Cayman Islands back in January. We went to parish there, and they handled it the best I've ever seen. And they basically just said, we know there's a lot of visitors here. We're going to sing a song to welcome you. This was at the very end of Mass, after everything was over. And they said, we know there's a lot of visitors here because it's a tourist place. And they said, we're just going to sing a song of welcome, and we're glad you're here. And it was done great. I didn't feel like I was being pointed out or anything like that.
See, I don't have a problem. I don't get me wrong. I think we need to be, as Catholics, we need to be welcoming at Mass. We need to make people feel welcome. But that's very different than pointing them out. That's very different than making people feel like they're being singled out. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's some of us who, I know people who love that. They love the, oh, let's, you know, the warm fuzzy of everybody likes seeing me here and I get to look, you know, those are extroverts. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not. And I know many people who aren't. About, on average, about half the U.S. or half the population of the world, you know, yeah. generally split 50-50 introvert, extrovert. So those of us who are introverts don't like that. But that being said, that doesn't mean that you don't greet people when they're coming in. You know, you know, glad you're here. Welcome. You know, mm-hmm. you know, is there anything we can do to help you? Let us know. You know, that's one thing.
That's the thing. You know, I think that we need to be welcoming like that. But we so we can't. So if we're not going to do it during Mass and making people stand up and embarrassing them and putting them, making them uncomfortable, we have to remember that we're in the narthex or, you know, outside of the church space, that we remember to go out of our way to shake mm-hmm. somebody's hand and say, hey, I'm Jeff, and you know, are you new here? Or if you want to yeah. be careful, you know, because they might, you know, they might be going to a different Mass or something, you know. But
well, there's a skill.
I think that we should bring back
what,
sorry, go ahead.
I think we should all wear name tags.
There we go.
No, what'd you say, Steve?
No, I was gonna say there's a real skill in knowing how to do that.
Yeah.
Because I've had people say, you know, nobody talked to me. I didn't feel welcome. And then other people was like, oh, it was too much. People were coming up and talking to me and making me introduce myself, and I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, and how do you know? I mean,
I know. So that you got to have people that are kind of skilled in body language.
Yeah.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you can tell really quickly if someone wants, you know, if someone is kneeling there in prayer, don't go up and talk to them.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing there?
Yeah. You know, likewise, if someone's standing alone and they're kind of looking around, go up and introduce yourself. And, you know, the bare minimum, they say, well, just, you know, they're trying.
Yeah.
But kind of getting back to what the point of Dom's article, I like his quote here from the Baltimore Catechism. It says, the purposes for which the Mass is offered are, first of all, to adore God as our Creator and Lord. Second, to thank God for his many favors. Third, to ask God to bestow his blessings on all men. Fourth, to satisfy the justice of God for the sins committed against him. That's something I think we need to think about. It's all about, the Mass is all about God. You know, yes, we should be welcome. We should desire to be there, but it's first and foremost above God. And you know what? If you don't get anything out of it, at least you're doing what needs to be done. You know? And maybe someday you will get something out of it.
It's kind of like, you know, when you give something, let's say, to your mother for Mother's Day, it's not about, you know, you getting something. It's you're giving that to the person, and that should make you feel good as well. Mm-hmm. So just think of it. Going to Mass is like giving God a present.
Yay.
Yay. All right. Well, thank you, Dom, for writing that post and giving us something to talk about. I do appreciate that. Let's see.
You say he was going to come to the CNMC?
I think so.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that he registered. And looking forward to catching up with him and what's going on with him, he and his family. Let's see. Anything else that we wanted to hit? Let's see. 5 simple lessons about priests. We have one with us here. We can find out whether he agrees or not. This is from the Dead Philosophers Society.com.
I love the name.
Yeah. Priests maintain the life of a parish. We see priests offer Mass and hear confessions, but what they do when they are not behind the altar or in a confessional? Occasionally, a myth arises that says priests sit in their office writing homilies all day. I know that's not true.
No, because you only work on Saturday nights and Sundays.
Right. I mean, you guys watch TV the rest of the week, right?
No, we get locked into a special closet that, you know, and we're only brought out and shaken out on Saturday
nights. Right, that's right. If you ever see a priest out in public, freak out because you're like, oh my gosh, priest,
he escaped.
So,
you ever tried to find your priest during the week? He's in a meeting. He's in a finance meeting or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, save me and take me to the bar.
Some parishes are like that, believe me. It feels like one meeting after another. I'm kind of fortunate I don't have to worry about that. No, it's there's priests, they get a lot going on. Like this, just this week we had a meeting over in another town about some of the new benefits from the diocese. You know, of course, every year they have to revise their benefits package and things like that. And, you know, new insurance plans and stuff like that. Yay.
What? Oh. You guys have insurance?
Yeah.
Like real people?
They want to be able to fix us up if we get hurt, you know? They want to get a lot of use out of us.
Well, it's time to take another break. We're going to get back to this. That was just number one of five of the article at the Dead Philosopher Society, Five Simple Lessons About Priests. But in the meantime, it's time for us to thank everyone who supports the StarQuest Production Network and makes possible shows like this and a lot of the other great SQPN productions. And if you want to support us financially, you can become a friend of SQPN by heading over to sqpn.com and clicking on the Friends of SQPN link, or you can just go to sqpn.com/donate, and there you'll find very convenient ways to partake in financially supporting the network. And if you'd rather do it in a more obtruse way, perhaps, but it still is effective nonetheless, you can click the Amazon.com link before you do your shopping on Amazon. And if you do that, we will get a little bit of that purchase. And it doesn't cost you anything more, but it does give us some proceeds from the sale. And it all adds up. And finally, remember, that's Amazon.com. Make sure you click on one of those links before you do your shopping. And then finally, Bluehost. Bluehost.com is a great place to get some web hosting for your blog, for your podcast, or whatever you're doing there out on the nets. And we have a couple people right here. I'm looking at them right now. Steve Nelson and Sarah Vabulous both use Bluehost.com to provide hosting for their personal blogs. And I've never heard them complain about anything about Bluehost, and I think that would make them a happy customer. And I don't know why. Are you guys getting a little bit of a fuzzy, staticky noise? Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from. Must be just the hangout.
Sounds like a radio station getting ready to go out of.
Yeah, it does. I don't know where that's coming from. Yeah, it does sound like a radio station. Oh, here, let me turn off my radio.
Yeah.
My AM radio. Anyway.
I hear it when you're talking, Jeff.
I know, that's what I was about to say. It faded for a second when you got really quiet.
Huh. Maybe it is me.
It's you. It's all you.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'll stop.
It's Google. Blame it on the Googles.
Well, this makes for a really awkward podcast when we're analyzing the sound quality in the middle.
Oh, we've done this before.
Oh, yeah.
So sorry, everybody. I've been up since 4, so I'm a little slow today.
All right.
I'm a little slow every day. Blah, blah, blah.
Blob those up. I can't do it. I just can't. I can't hit those.
That was too easy.
I'm especially slow today. Does that work better?
Well, you kids keep talking, and I'm going to see if I can figure out what the source of this is.
Hi, Maria. Are you feeling better?
No, I feel terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Jeff is trying to figure out his technical difficulties, and we may as well keep on going with this list, huh?
Yeah.
So, second one off the list of simple lessons about priests. And by the way, this was done by someone who works as a parish secretary. She knows, she sees. Second one is, not every diocesan priest works in a parish. For the most part, that's true. I mean, most part, diocesan priests do have parish assignments. But, for example, you'll have someone like the vicar general is usually a priest. As a matter of fact, it has to be a priest. Mm-hmm. And he's a diocesan priest who oftentimes does not have a parish assignment.
Vocation director?
Vocation director in some dioceses. Others don't. Others, that's a job added on to the pastor of a parish.
Mm-hmm. We have several that work as chaplains at the Catholic high school and as chaplains at the hospitals, and that's their only function.
Yeah. Sarah saw a whole bunch of them at the seminary, I'll bet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there were many a priest that are not assigned to parishes that were at the seminary.
Yeah, so there's... But most of us do. Most of us diocesan priests do work in a parish. That's our primary responsibility. That's what we're primarily ordained for, is to be a diocesan, or to be a parish priest. Third one is respect the priestly office. And this is one thing I think we've lost in our church today. I think, you know, there's been such a focus on, you know, we're all equal within the church, that we really don't have a respect for what the priestly office is. And what this article says, if you want to respect God, respect those to whom he has entrusted the souls of his people. Doctors, lawyers, judges, and so on, elicit a sense of respect from us by virtue of the office they hold and the duties they perform. And I think that's true. You know, of course, I think we've lost a general respect for people. You know, we look at...
bring us to God. Experience, you know, somebody disrespecting you for your office?
I've not so much for my office, but definitely, you know, because I'm a younger priest. Uh-huh. I've had people who are older who forget that there's a reason why we call priests fathers.
Yeah.
I've had parishioners shout at me, like, you don't respect me because I'm older. Well, you don't respect me because I'm a priest. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it kills me. I can't tell you how many people that I have heard that are, you know, my parents' age, whatever, that say, you know, I just inform priests because they haven't had any life experience, so what do they know? And I just, you know, that doesn't rub me right. You know, age for me, I don't think that, yeah, sure, wisdom comes with age, but just because someone's young doesn't mean that they don't have some wisdom or thought or anything, you know, and just because mm-hmm. you're a fresh-faced priest doesn't mean that you should be tuned out at all, by any means.
Well, and yeah, it's a tough balance, because no, the younger priest may not have life experience, but they might have something to say to you that you're not thinking about because your life experience has led you a different path.
How much of it do you think, am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
I'm muting myself. How much of it do you think comes from you know, the recent scandals in the church
and
the media, you know, propagation? Because sometimes, you know, I'll walk in an airport and I'll see a man in a collar and I'll assume he's a Roman Catholic priest mm-hmm. and, you know, nod at him or something like that, somehow acknowledge his presence. But, how much of that could be a source of pain too, walking through the airport or just a source of anger? So, I mean, you guys have a really tough mm-hmm. gig to be out in public, you know, wearing that collar, where it can either, you know, like in my case, evoke, you know, good thoughts or.
Well, I've heard priests say that there were times when they would not wear the collar because they'd be in public and they'd have people looking at them. Not so much in rural areas like here in Montana, but definitely in larger cities mm. where they would talk about being in a, for example, going through an airport wearing the collar and seeing a mother take her young child and pull her closer to her mm-hmm. when she saw the priest walking by. You know, had priests who they were verbally attacked because of it. You know, and I think that does have part of it. I really do. And unfortunately, the only way we can win respect there is through our examples as priests. You know, we as priests, we can't sit there. Yeah, we can sit there and say, well, only 2 to 4% of priests have ever abused. So that means 96 to 98% haven't. Yeah, we can say that, but that's meaningless. What's more meaningful is when they see our example. You know, but that still doesn't mean that we as Catholics should not respect the priesthood. We absolutely should. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I don't say that as a priest, because I want to feel, you know, I want that respect. I want to be the big man on campus, you know. No, because we got to remember what priesthood is about. Priesthood is not about me. It's not about Corey Stika. It's about God. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom I come as in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, you know, to bring the sacraments. So, yeah, it's important. It really is.
Yeah, I think many people don't Anyway, as Catholics, we all experience a little bit of persecution, you know, in various ways. Like, I've got some friends, and they always introduce me as like, oh, this is Steve. He's our Catholic friend.
he's the good one.
Why do you always do that?
One of them.
You know, it's like they want to make sure their other friends have defined me correctly, you know. And I'm sure, you know, and priests get it worse, you know.
Yeah.
I hear stories all the time about priests who get trapped on a plane next to somebody who just wants to be counseled for the next 4 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, that's got to be the downside of being so visible. Well, you know, I had a really interesting opportunity to do, I guess it was apologetics. So, you know, we live in the Bible Belt, and I think the funny thing is that I've always thought I was the resident. It might be Maria. When she talks, it goes away. What?
No, seriously.
You're not supposed to read that.
Yeah. I meant to do that just as kind of a...
That's all right.
Sneak it in, just because I notice every time you talk, it goes away.
It's because she's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Y'all shut up. I'll just get on off of the show.
No. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. It's just I thought that you were sending. I saw my name and I thought you were sending it to me.
No.
But I thought I was the resident Catholic on campus, and then I realized that, you know, we have this Catholic language that we speak. Mm-hmm. You know, these certain phrases that we can use that really, if you're paying attention, you know. And I've entertained myself in board meetings, for example, or regional meetings by throwing some things out to see who responds.
Hmm.
And they just kind of look at you. you know, things like, oh, the dignity of the human person, you know, those kinds of phrases. They go very well in education, but are not, you know, used standardly. Anyway, this one.
Yeah, it's always interesting when I do that, too. People are like,
But so this woman was, I don't know what happened. I was sitting down, and she just decided to start asking me all of these questions about what happens in a confessional. Mm. And do you really go to a priest and tell him your sins? And I'm like, do you really go to your girlfriends and tell them what you did over the weekend? Kind of the same thing.
That's a really solid point, Maria. I've never even thought about it like that. Oh my gosh.
Well, the difference.
You open. No, I mean, I went into some other things, but yeah, like she was so astounded that it could be some, you know, that you would open up that way with someone. And I said, well, you do it with your friends all the time. Now you're talking to a person who's standing in as Jesus. Standing in as Jesus. It's not that you're confessing to this man. It's that he is, you know, standing in for Jesus. And she was like mind blown. And she says, oh, so I've been going to confession all these years when I go talk to my pastor for counseling. And I go, yeah, only you're not getting absolution like I do.
That's so awesome.
Hey, I hate to interrupt. This is great conversation. I wish we had started with this at the beginning of the show. This is really stimulating, but we're already kind of running late. We're past the hour mark, so I need to quickly shift into, or do you need to say something, Father?
No.
Okay.
No, but how about a to be continued?
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. The picks of the week. There we go. It's time for the picks of the week. And do I see any volunteers here? Anybody raising their hand? No. Steve's shaking his head. That means we go to Steve first.
I hadn't even given it any.
Okay, well, let's go to Maria because she was actually raising her hand.
I am playing a new game. It's a free game that you can download to your phone. It's called 10-10-1-0-1-0. Oh. It's kind of like Tetris. You have these lines of little shapes that you have to fill up the board with. So that's what I've been doing from my sick bed all week.
Oh. 10-10?
10-10.
10-4?
No.
10. No. Okay. Good. Thank you. Nice, short, sweet. Let's see. Boy, girl, boy. So let's go Father Corey. You're next.
Okay. Well, my pick is I'm going to do the typical priest thing and remind everyone that it's the Feast of the Ascension this week. Now, unfortunately, in most of the United States, they've transferred it to the following Sunday. So it's next Sunday, a week from tomorrow,
is the Feast of the Ascension. But there's still some dioceses where they still celebrate the Feast of the Ascension on Thursday, and it is a holy day of obligation in those dioceses on Thursdays. So for some in the United States and some throughout the world, it's Thursday, May 14th, is a holy day of obligation. For those of us who it has been changed, it's a week from Sunday, but this is means we're getting close to the end of the Easter season. Feast of the Ascension traditionally is 40 days after Easter. Of course, if they move it, it becomes what, 43 days. But it is, it's we're kind of our final countdown. The importance of the Ascension, at least as far as our practice is concerned, is that it's 9 days following the Feast of the Ascension to the end of the Easter season at Pentecost. Now, if you're familiar with devotions, 9 days sounds familiar. Novena. This is the first novena. The novena of the Holy Spirit is the days between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost. So it's a good time starting Friday to start, or starting Friday to start praying a novena to the Holy Spirit to prepare yourself for the Feast of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church.
Excellent.
So I totally started singing the final countdown in my head.
We need somebody to be out there to send us all emails reminding us to start our novena. Of course, we talked about the novenas.
Pray more novenas.com.
And that's a good way to get that reminder. They'll be all over the top of that.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. So, I just got an email today about starting the Pentecost novena.
Yep.
That must be it.
That's exactly it.
Okay. Excellent. I'd like to go next. You all know John Clem, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Sweet tweets that he used to send to Lisa each week over at CatholicMom.com. You ever heard of that? And now he has his own rightful place on the Catholic Mom. Actually, or is it Patheos? Maybe it's Patheos. Top Catholic tweets are now home over here, I think. Now, am I getting that right? I'm getting confused. I'm confusing myself.
What else is new?
Yeah. Shut up. Let's see. Well, you know, John has a his own blog, Call to Holiness. But, yeah, I'm looking at this. It's on Patheos. It says, this week marks the final installment of Top Catholic Tweets here at my blog. It is moving over to its rightful home with its author, John Clem, now serving as its host. This is Lisa talking.
Oh, yeah.
It's been an amazing opportunity to share this feature with you each week and to see firsthand the news of the world and our church from a tweeted perspective. It's proven to me time and time again the value of Twitter and the impact each of us can have when we employ social media tools to share the good news. Keep tweeting, friends. And so...
stay thirsty.
Yes. So anyway, if you're interested in seeing some of the top tweets of the week, look for the top Catholic tweets, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes. But I just wanted to do a shout out to John Clem for all the great work that he does for our church and new media.
Excellent.
There we go. Who's next?
Well, I got kind of a short one, I guess.
Okay.
You know, there's been a lot of negative news about law enforcement around the country,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I want to do a shout out to them for a lot of the positive things. During the storms, recent storms in Oklahoma City, there was a lot of flooding and people were driving into deep water and, you know, and the roads were being obscured and things like that. And the police and the fire department just did heroic effort there to keep people safe by, you know, closing roads and diverting people and rescuing people from their cars and things like that in the midst of tornadic weather, you know. And so I think sometimes we forget about the how they go above and beyond sometimes to serve the people. So
yeah, I guess it kind of reminds me of the, you know, the priest scandal. You know, 98-99% are doing amazing work out there, and then just a very tiny minority give everybody else a bad name. Same goes for the police. Exactly. You know, so many great police officers out there. I mean, without them, our society would just be completely out of control, I think. So,
I don't know. That still doesn't make it any easier to see them in the rearview mirror when you have the cruise set a little too high.
Oh, yeah, those darn police people.
Yeah, I know, but, you know.
the same goes for seeing a collar.
Yeah, exactly.
When that blue light's going off in the confessional. Right? Woo, 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 woo. Yeah. Pull over. Confess. Yeah. All right.
No, that's great. There are a lot of – and they put their lives on the line every day. They really do in some of those places.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have a shout out for them, definitely.
Absolutely. Sarah? Sarah.
I hate that song. So let's just go with well, you know what? I'm gonna make Tom Pringle my pick of the week because I'm incredibly proud of him. For, you know, just he was in seminary and then he left and he discerned that he belongs back in and he graduated summa cum laude, guys. Like, good such a him. Like, just working so hard. So he's my pick of the week. I'm just so very proud of him and to see where he's going and that he's just so devoted to making sure that whatever he does is the will of the Lord and God willing he becomes a priest in 5 years.
Awesome.
I love that kid so much. Right. Theme song. He loves that theme.
Tom can't stop. Yeah. Excellent. Great pick. All right. I'm just going to add the music in later because we're completely out of our normal time frame. So why don't we end with where we can find everybody here on the panel in the digital spectrum, starting with Father Corey.
Well, you can find my homilies and my ill-used blog. The only thing I really post on are my homilies, but it's at frcory.org. And then you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those kind of fun things at frcorystica. Last name spelled STICHA.
Outstanding. Maria Johnson, always time for another cup of coffee.
Well, except for the last couple of weeks where I've been really sick.
Yeah, but you know what? But you can still drink coffee.
And people can go back and read your old posts. So see, it's all good.
It's all good. It's all good. Well, maybe if I feel better after this weekend, find me at Bago on the Twitters, and you can read whatever it is that I post. Actually, you know what? Today I'm going to post about those stupid squirrels that are eating my strawberries.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I even have a picture. I have
but they're God's creation.
I put the dog on the squirrel. I showed him the picture and I said, Otis, attack. And he looked at me and went and got a strawberry and took it to the squirrel.
Oh, that's funny. All right.
I promise that post today.
Maria, we hope that you feel better. Mm-hmm. Get well soon.
Thanks.
Steve. Everything Esteban?
Everything Esteban.com. I'm bound and determined to post something this weekend. Now that my crazy travel schedule is abated somewhat, I'm going to try and actually work on the blog.
And you might want to listen to that weather radio and hunker down when appropriate.
Oh, you know, I've got like 4 weather apps on my phone, and they all blow up at the same time. And I did that on purpose because I can't hear the sirens from here. Mm-hmm. When they go off, and so my phone does a pretty good backup for that.
Well, yeah, we had a tornado warning here a couple weeks ago, and my phone went off. You know that, and I go, what the heck is that? I thought, you know, I didn't even know there was any weather outside. I thought, well, my phone must think I'm in Oklahoma or Texas or something. And then I turned on I tried to go to the satellite, and it was like the signal wasn't coming in, and I'm thinking, ooh, that's not good. Then I looked on the internet, and sure enough, we were there. A tornado on the radar was barreling down on us, bearing down on us. But turned out it wasn't a tornado; it was just hail or something. I don't know.
Have you ever been in a restaurant when everybody's Amber Alert goes off at the same time?
No.
In the restaurant?
That must be something.
I turned mine off.
Yeah, you can turn it off, but you know,
because it's just like, oh my gosh, in the middle of the night, like if it, oh my gosh, it's. I scream bloody murder because I'm pretty sure I have no idea what's going on when it wakes me up. Like, is my apartment burning down? What's going on?
Well, Sarah, how can we find out more about you and your Catholic Drinky apostolate?
You can go to CatholicDrinky.com. Also find me on Twitter, but I've been posting a lot on the blog.
You have.
Shoot for every day. So, you know, there's lots to read.
Very, very, very much stuff. Good stuff there on Catholic Drinky.
Very much stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't do so great in English.
Okay.
I was thinking of the dog post. Much wow. You know.
And last and least, I'm the airline pilot guy, and you can find me there at airlinepilotguy.com. Until next week, hope everybody has a good Catholic weekend. Take care, and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.